When our first little girl was born, we brought her home from the hospital 10 hours after she was born. We'd have stayed longer, but I didn't have any money, so we couldn't stay in the hospital. And when we got home, my wife was in bed, and I put the little Stachyphon in the bassinet. After we got everything all settled, I picked her up and set her on the bed, and then knelt down beside the bed, took my wife's hand, and prayed and said, "Oh God, my wife and I, we don't know what we're doing. Lord, it'd have been sure nice if we could have raised somebody else's kids first and then made all the mistakes and then had our own. But that's not the way it worked, and we didn't know what we were doing." And so I prayed and said, "Oh God, we got to have your help. We only got one shot at this. And Lord, would you put a hedge about my little girl? And would you protect her and keep her clean so that one of these days, Lord..." Well, actually today, Lord, there's probably some ugly little boy in this world that's just a little baby, and my daughter's going to meet him someday and fall in love. And we ask you, Lord, starting today, would you put a hedge about him and keep him clean? Keep him pure so he'll be a good candidate for a husband for my daughter. And from day one, it was the goal to raise those kids for God. And you can do it. We didn't have any idea what we were doing, but we depended upon God to lead us and direct us and guide us in raising our kids. So, well, if we'd have done that, we wouldn't have made any mistakes. Oh, yeah, you would have too, because I made plenty. But God knew that our hearts were in the right place, and we were trying our best to raise these kids for God. And God somehow minimized all the mistakes we made, and our kids are all serving God. And over half of my grandkids are either in Bible school or have already graduated from Bible school, and the other 20 or 12 or 13 or 11 of them are coming along. And they are all saved now. All of them are saved. And, you know, we didn't raise good kids by my wife and I having a fight every day. Well, we had fights, we went somewhere else and did them. And somebody said, never laugh at your wife's choices. She chose you. And then I also heard that, why do wives use twice as many words as a man does? And that's because she has to repeat everything. Tell you what, Brother Leslie, see what you have to do to get an amen? Well, you know, forgiveness. And I've already thought of two or three things I need to ask my wife to forgive me of since I got up here. But anyway, forgiveness. Think about that. Everybody needs forgiveness. Man, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And if it wasn't for God saving my soul, and I'd be on my way to hell. And He has forgiven me. And folks, if there's anything that you could learn this week that'd be a help, is if be forgiving to your spouse. Man, when your husband does something, forgive him. Forgive him before he even asks you. And when your wife does something you don't like, forgive her as quick as you possibly can. Before we get started here, let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, I sure don't want to waste the people's time here. God, they spent money and got in their car and wearing their car out driving over here. And Lord, they came here expecting something from you. And Lord, I pray that you would give these people something valuable that they can use in their life that will make them better husbands and better daddies. better wives, and better mothers. God, please help me to say something that would be helpful. And pray, Lord Jesus, that you would do a miracle in every life here in these next 24 hours. Jesus, I ask these things in your precious name. Amen. Top of the page there, I think it's page 14, and be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Most problems that come into marriages are caused by selfishness. Selfishness that, well, my wife has done more wrong than I have, or my husband has done more wrong than I have, and because you're selfish. Human nature is selfish. We want our way. We want our particular food. We want it done our way. We don't want, if you can't do it my way, we are not going to do it. If we can't go where I want to go, then we're not going to do it. We're selfish. Oh, if we could get to the place where we would just live for other people. What is forgiveness? If you won't forgive, the Bible says neither will God forgive you. And the Bible is very clear on that. And you say, well, I just can't forgive him. It says, well, you might as well quit praying. God's not going to forgive you anymore. Not till you get that right with God. That's what he says. Forgiveness means to send away. Send away. Get it out of here. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Psalm 103, verse number 12. And God does forget our sins. And he's not going to be remembering them anymore once he forgives us. And whenever you forgive your spouse, it's time to throw that under the rug, throw it out in the trash or whatever. And not your husband, just the thought, you know. But get rid of that thing and don't remember it anymore. Don't bring it up again. How would your children like it when they did something wrong, that every time they did something else wrong, you brought off everything that they did for the last 6 months? But if you did, it'd take all day to do one spanking, wouldn't it? Then also, I want you to notice that forgiveness is to grant us favor, to grant us favor. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. And then also to dismiss from your memory or thoughts. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 12, it says tells us there that once, well, I don't know what verse that is. I don't have it written down. But anyway, to dismiss it from your memory. Do you know, we need to forgive and to forget. Whenever you first were dating, before you ever got married, you spent a good amount of time getting ready for the date. Actually, you probably showered and shaved and combed your hair, put makeup on, and clothes all pressed and clean, shoes shined, deodorant on, and smiled and had the right attitude and all those kinds of things. But after you got married, after a while, your wife or your husband see what you really are, what you really like. You know, it's a good idea maybe to go back to dating days sometime, maybe take a shower once in a while. Clean up and shave, and I'm talking about the men shaving, not the ladies, you know. But it's a good idea, and you know, we could clean up and be presentable to each other. And if your wife says, you know, your breath is not really too appealing, man, you need to invest in a toothbrush. You know, and some mouthwash and stuff like that. You know, I mean, what we ought to, you know, if you were having company over, you would do all you could to try to be impressive for the company. Why don't we do all we can to be impressive to our wife or be impressive to our husband? Go the extra mile and do things that you wouldn't normally do, but just because you love your wife, you want to do something nice. It's amazing how we, on purpose, can be good and put on a good show for someone who just drops by or somebody that we're just talking to on the telephone. But man, your husband or your wife ought to be a whole lot worth more than just a visitor for your house. Do you treat them that way in private? We ought to. Only when you do it on purpose will you do it. When you make up your mind that you're going to try to be what your husband needs, when you're going to try to be what your wife needs. How does God forgive us? How does He forgive us? Well, He forgives us faithfully. Faithfully. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And with the same verse, God forgives us completely. Completely. Once that we do something wrong, we ask Him to forgive us, He forgives us. And then be always ready to forgive. Always ready. Psalm 86 verse 9 says, "For Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee." And after forgiving, I've mentioned it, forget it. Forget it. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. You know, God will forgive you of anything except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And you know that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is rejecting Christ when He convicts your heart and you say no to God and get out of here, God, I don't want you anymore, then God will, that's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, and God cannot forgive him, give you of rejecting His Son. But everything else He can forgive. And so, folks, if God can forgive you of all of the wicked, ungodly things you've done and you've thought about in your life, then surely you and I could forgive our spouse for whatever they messed up on. Do you keep a mental collection, a record of offenses that your spouse has done? Whenever you're talking together, do you use the word always all the time? You always or you never? For instance, you never use your turning signal. You always follow too close. I remember one time I was way, way back there and following a long ways away. Just one time. And I remember there were a couple of times in my life that I've used my turning signal. So be careful about using those kinds of words. You know, you offend your spouse, you know, if it's always and always and never, you know. That's not true. Surely there's some time that they didn't do it, or some time that they did. Now, how do we forgive others? Well, you choose to. You choose to forgive people. 2 Corinthians 2:10, if you want a scripture reference for that. Jesus helped them to forgive. And then be there is forgive. As God forgives, or God won't forgive you. But forgive as God forgives. In Mark 11, verse number 25, we forgive through prayer. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that despitefully use you. Surely we can, if we can forgive people that have done us wrong, that don't even care about you, surely we can forgive somebody that has made a mistake and done something whom we supposedly love. Yeah. Jesus forgave people in prayer. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, of course, if your husband has a low IQ, you could say, I forgive him because he doesn't know what he's doing. Or if your wife maybe is in the same boat. But Jesus forgave in prayer. Paul forgave people. 2 Timothy 4:16, I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Stephen, of course, when he was being stoned to death, he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Wow, what love that Stephen had for lost people, that he wanted them to get saved, that he was willing to forgive them as they were killing him. Man, we need to learn to where we can forgive each other. We all need it periodically, and we need to do that. He says, Hebrews 10:17, Jesus said, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." And love is important. Matthew 5:44, "Confirm your love toward him when you forgive." It shows that you have some Christian character in your life. Be kind. Be kind. We need to be kind one to another. Sometimes we're more kind to a neighbor or somebody that just drops by than we are to our spouse. Wow, that should not be. I mean, we ought to love our spouse and treat them with kindness and treat them with love. And he says, "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head." Man, what an example Joseph is in the Bible of somebody that was kind and showed love toward his brothers. And do you know that in the Bible, a husband is commanded to love his wife? It's a command. It's in the Bible at least three times that he commands you to, "Husbands, love your wives." And you know that it also says in the Bible that a wife is supposed to love her husband. In Titus chapter 2, verse number 3 through 5, it says that the younger women be sober and to love their husbands. So I suppose if the woman doesn't drink, she's supposed to love her husband. Just joking. It's talking about, not talking about drinking at that particular point. It's a different type of sober. That you may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. I've never met too many mothers that didn't love their kids. And I haven't met too many mothers that couldn't forget any bad thing their kids did. I mean, if you think back over their life, you might remember two or three things that they did. And maybe if you sit down and made a whole night of it, you might think of four or five things. But you're not going to remember a lot of things that your children did bad. You know why? Because I was overcome with love. But some of you, you could stand up and tell me 20 things that you don't like about your husband. Or you could tell me 20 things you don't like about your wife. That ought not to be. It ought to be put under, out of the way, thrown in the trash somewhere. Get rid of that thing. If you're going to forget an offense, you have to do it consciously. You have to do it on purpose. You can't forget accidentally. You have to forget on purpose. Have to make up your mind that you're going to forget it. And you'll soon, if you don't, you'll soon have a list of all the reasons that you don't like being married, and it won't be very long, and you won't be married. I understand that in Christian families, about 50% of Christians that get married get divorced. Wow, that is awful. That is, and by the way, when I was a very young man, it was only about 20% of Christian families that got a divorce. We're going downhill fast in America, and we're going downhill fast in the world. And man, if we don't watch it, you're going to be in a mess, and you're going to get a divorce some of these days down the road. What's the solution? Well, the solution is Romans 12:20. "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing this, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head." Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do." We need to learn to forgive. Learn to forgive. It's something you may have to teach yourself or ask for some help of somebody to help you. But and we're slow to forgive, and we're quick to accuse, quick to get mad, quick to charge somebody with something. But marriage will be totally unhappy and probably end in a divorce unless you can learn to forgive each other. Is there anybody here since you've been married that hasn't ever made a mistake since you've been married? There's no hands. No hands. Isn't that amazing? That means we all need forgiveness periodically. Keep it in mind. God says, love our enemies. Well, good night. If we're supposed to love our enemies, why in the world can't we love our spouse? Why can't we treat them that way? Why not the next time your husband says, well, listen, I need to confess something to you. Listen, I forgive you even before you tell me. Why don't we have that kind of spirit? But no, there's some things that we have made up our mind we're not going to forgive each other for. No matter what attitude you have. And if the guy came up to me after church and said, listen, that's the worst sermon I ever heard preached. I said, well, brother, I love you anyway. And I'll try to study harder next week and do a better job. If you promise me that you'll come and hear it. Amen. But man, we ought to love each other. Why can't you just say, go to your closet and say, oh, God, help me to love my husband. Lord, it's been growing a little bit cold, and I need your help, God. Would you do it? Give me your love, and I can give it to him. Lord, would you help me to love my wife? It's good if your spouse would repent and change and make an effort to change some of the things in their life. Hopefully they will when they become aware of it, but sometimes they don't. That means you may have to forgive them again. How long should you keep forgiving them when they keep messing up with the same offense? Jesus said, say until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. I think what God's saying there is that you'll lose count by the time it gets to 77 times. You'll lose count and just keep right on forgiving. That's the kind of spirit we ought to have as Christians. Keep right on forgiving. Our nature fights against it by Mark 11:25. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against another. Disobedience, you know, we don't pray and we don't forgive, and that is disobedience. Mark 11:25, it says that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. You can't get clearer than that. Now, you know, there's no excuse for not forgiving. Christians ought to forgive one another. Just like that. 2 Corinthians 2:10 says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. There's no excuse for not forgiving, and God will, He knows how to bring judgment on you if you are unforgiving. And you will have a harder time than the one you're not forgiving because of it. Not forgiving causes others to manifest themselves, other sins to manifest themselves in you, such as bitterness that was brought up in one of the videos we watched a little bit ago. You get bitter when you don't forgive. And then anything that your spouse does, you get offended by, even if it didn't used to offend you, but now it does. Because little things then become giant things in your life, and now you've got not just one or two things you don't like, there's 400 things you don't like about him or her. So bitterness comes along, and also the desire to get revenge or get even comes in too. We ought not to do that. It brings God's discipline upon you. In Matthew 18:32-33, says, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt. Verse 33, shouldest now thou not also have compassion? And the Lord was wroth. And it says, likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one of his brother's trespasses. I'll need to write clear so I can read my writing. Then what advantage do you have for the forgiver? What advantages are there? Number one, it causes a person to love. When you start to forgive, you start loving the person that you forgave. And that's one of the reasons that the Lord says, forgive your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. And you start doing that and you start praying for them, God gives you a love for that person that you used to hate. And He'll do the same thing for your spouse or and help you. Forgiveness also brings happiness to the person that is unforgiving. Brings happy. You don't want to be happy? Then start forgiving. Forgiving. Get that out of your system. Also, forgiveness brings comfort to the forgiver. 2 Corinthians 2, 6 through 8. And forgiveness has a tendency to give you better health. Everybody's always looking for better health. Man, you can get healthier if you just get that bitterness and unforgiveness out of you and you start feeling better, start having a better attitude and a better spirit, and you make it through. And the Bible says, and be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We started with that verse, and I'll end with that verse.